In the name of Jesus, who saves his people from their sins. Amen. When first promising Abraham and Sarah a son of their own, the Lord told Abraham, "You shall call his name Isaac," which in Hebrew means "he laughs." In choosing this name, the Lord anticipated both Sarah's laughter of doubt when she first heard she would become pregnant, as we heard in yesterday morning's reading from Genesis 18, and Sarah's laughter of delight at the birth of Isaac, which we heard in this morning's reading from Genesis 21. And thus, the Genesis narrative, and through it, God reminds subsequent generations that he always gets the last laugh. In Genesis 21 this morning, we hear, "Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time that God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to that son that Sarah bore him." With elaborate detail, Moses sketches God's fulfillment of his promise to Abraham and Sarah. By inverting the Hebrew word order of the first sentence, he emphasizes that this was the God of the covenant, acting in absolute independence, but also in absolute constancy to his promise. The long-awaited son was born at just the time God had said he would be, and received the name God had selected. At 8 days, Isaac received circumcision, the sign of the covenant, the seal of the righteousness his great descendant would earn, and which Isaac received by faith. As Sarah held her infant son in her arms, she not only expressed her joy, but she also showed that her repentance was genuine. Recalling her earlier laughter of unbelief at God's promise, she looked lovingly at her little Isaac and said, "God has really given me something to laugh about. Everyone who hears what great things God has done will laugh with me." 3 or 4 years later, at the time of Isaac's weaning, Abraham held a celebration. It was to be a happy occasion, honoring Isaac as the principal heir. But something happened to spoil that happy day for Sarah. She saw Ishmael, 14 years older than Isaac, laughing in mockery at her young son. This was not just an older brother innocently teasing his younger brother. St. Paul's epistle to the Galatians describes Ishmael's actions as persecuting the young heir of the promise. Sarah noticed this and told her husband to send Ishmael and his mother Hagar away from the household. When Abraham hesitated, God made it clear that her demand did not flow from petty jealousy. Over the years, Sarah noticed that Ishmael had no appreciation for God's covenant promise, but instead made fun of it. He therefore posed a threat to Isaac's inheritance and didn't belong in the same household with him. God used this unhappy incident as another element in teaching Abraham to distinguish between his true spiritual descendants and his descendants only according to the flesh. To make it easier for Abraham to expel his older son, God restated his promise to build Ishmael's descendants into a nation for Abraham's sake. At the same time, God reaffirmed that it was through Isaac, not Ishmael, that Abraham's true descendants would be counted. It was through Isaac, not Ishmael, that all the nations of the earth would be blessed. This scene, then, provided St. Paul with the features of his well-known comparison in Galatians 4. There, the apostle contrasts Ishmael, born in the ordinary way, and as a result of earthly-minded planning on the part of Sarah, with Isaac, born as a result of the promise. There cannot be two ways of being saved, one by human ways or merit, and the other by faith in God's promise. The true heirs of Abraham are the heirs according to the promise. Generations after that improbable birth of Isaac, another improbable birth occurred. As promised, a virgin conceived and gave birth to a son, and she gave him the name of Jesus, for he would save his people from their sins. The Ishmaels of this world mockingly laughed at this son of Mary and son of God, and in their laughter of disbelief, they crucified him. Yet, the time of weeping by the women at the foot of the cross passed after 3 days and gave way to a time of laughing, for he was not dead, he was arisen. The religion of Ishmael is a religion of nature, of what man can do by himself without any special intervention of God. But the religion of Isaac is a religion of grace, of what God has done and continues to do. Christianity is not a natural religion, but a supernatural one. The Ishmaels of this world trust in themselves that they are righteous. They are in bondage because that is what self-reliance always leads to. The Isaacs of this world enjoy freedom because it is through faith in Christ that men are set free. Generation after generation, men continue to be set free by improbable birth. Water is applied and the name of the triune God is spoken. And our cynical laughter of disbelief is replaced by the evangelical laughter of belief. Singer-songwriter Michael Card sums up this genitive narrative with these words. A barren land and a barren wife made Abraham laugh at his wandering life. A cruel joke it seemed then to call him the father of nations. A heavenly prank, a celestial joke, because gray hair and babies leave no room for hope. But hoping was something this hopeless old man learned to do. They called him Laughter, for he came after. The father had made an impossible promise come true. The birth of a baby to a hopeless old lady. So they called him Laughter, because no other name would do. A cry in the darkness and laughter at night. An elderly couple sit holding him tight. An improbable infant, a punchline, a promise come true. They laughed till they wept, then they laughed at their tears. This miracle baby they'd wanted for years. He would make a Messiah who'd give us impossible joy. They called him Laughter, for he came after. The father had made an impossible promise come true. The birth of a baby to a hopeless old lady. So they called him Laughter, because no other name would do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.